This is the Art of the Hudson Valley, broadcasting locally on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, Greene, and Columbia Counties, New York, and streaming globally online at WGXC.org. I'm your host, Chad Weckler. Today we are at Waterfront Studios, a recording studio in Hudson where we've been watching and listening to singer-songwriter Zachary Kale record a selection of his songs with fellow musician Otto Hauser, a local drummer. In the control room is producer Henry Hirsch and engineer Rachel Alina. Zachary was chosen by Waterfront Studios as their favorite musician of the Hudson Music Festival, which took place in Hudson in August of 2012. And Zachary was playing at Club Helsinki. Before we talk to Zachary, Otto, and Henry, let's listen to the first song they've recorded. It's called Love in Vain. Thank you.
pitching at the station, and the lights on the train left the station. It's two lights on the hill. Well, the blue light was my heart, yeah, the red light was my mind. All of my love is in you. Love in me.
Zach, the first song we played, Love in Vain, can you give us a little background?
Love in Vain. Well, this is like a cover song, and it was written by Robert Johnson. It's funny, I don't really know why I chose to do this. I think it was because I've been kind of playing this cover for a long time, and it's just this, the music's all mine. It's like uses kind of a strange open tuning. I think the first time I used this tuning, I made this music that I used for Love in Vain, and I didn't really know what to write a song about. I think I just watched this documentary about Robert Johnson, and that song kind of stuck out. And I knew there was the Stones version. They did theirs, and I think many people have covered this song, and it's always kind of different. So I just kind of used it as like a way to do like folk tradition, like, okay, I'll just do my own song, you know, out of this. And I might have even tweaked one of the lyrics, but I think this one sounds really haunted, like this version, more than any other version. The Stones version is like pretty country sounding, and then Robert Johnson's like really, you know, Delta blues sounding. So this has like a real droney, haunted kind of thing going. And I think it suits the lyrics, kind of makes it real desperate sounding. And yeah, so it's Love in Vain, just kind of a immortal song, and you know, has that kind of train rhythm in it too, which is cool. And like the song has a train as kind of one of the main characters in the song. One other thing, it's just kind of a funny thing about that is I stayed in this hotel in San Antonio, Texas, and that's actually the hotel where Robert Johnson recorded like all 20 of the songs, the known recordings, all the Columbia recordings. Or I think there's like 20 songs he recorded it in 2 days at this hotel. I forget the name now, but I stayed in it when I was down there last March, so I stayed on the same floor. It wasn't in the same room, but yeah, every single song he recorded was just in this hotel here, San Antonio, and that was pretty cool.
Zachary, could you introduce yourself to our listening audience?
My name is Zachary Kale. I'm a musician, songwriter, guitar player. I'm originally from rural Louisiana. Currently live in New York and Brooklyn. I don't know, I've been playing music ever since I was a kid, pretty much. Playing guitar first, I think. I used to think of myself as a guitar player first, and then kind of developed writing songs as I got older. I guess you could call me a singer-songwriter, though I try to avoid that word sometimes. But anyway, I don't know, I've been writing songs probably since I was about 17. I think I've probably written about 400 songs. I guess that's what I do, mainly stripped down kind of acoustic, vocal, sometimes more rocking with a full band. It just kind of depends. I like to think of myself kind of as just in a lineage of just other songwriters, rock songwriters, maybe like Neil Young or J.J. Cale or somebody like that.
And what about the songwriting process?
Well, writing songs is, I don't know, just something that's kind of just natural for me. I don't really think about it too much. I mean, I probably think about songs all the time, but I don't really think about how to make them exactly. It just comes kind of naturally just from playing guitar a lot, kind of finding melodies and then finding the words that fit. And I don't know, maybe the more I do, I think the more I do it, the more I write, the easier it is. I almost think of it more as just a craft, and I kind of try not to think about forcing anything, just kind of let it happen. But I think I've written enough songs that it just comes easy. I mean, I know when to not force it and when to let it come, and that's really just the magic for me for writing. As far as writing songs, like what I write songs about, it's always different. I guess I kind of try to approach it from like a kind of dream perspective, maybe. Sometimes more narrative. It just depends. You just take things from your life, or, you know, other people's lives, or, you know, you're inspired by your friends, by the people you know. And you kind of write stories from either true or twisted or whatever, you know, just something to create. And, you know, hopefully somebody can relate to that, I guess.
Well, I think now is a good time to go to another song. Zachary, how about Riverbed?
Riverbed's a song that's been around for a bit. It's a favorite of mine. It's maybe a little more spiritual kind of sound to it somehow. And the lyrics, I don't know. There's like a gospel quality, which I don't usually write songs like that very often, but I feel like it has some kind of quality of that. My girlfriend was in the room when I wrote the music. I remember all the melody. I remember writing it in kind of like one sitting, kind of sitting there and like chancing upon the melody and all the music. She ended up like writing like one or two lines of the lyrics from listening to a tape of me mumbling like melodies like into a tape, but with no lyrics, just, but she was like, I think you're saying this. So there was like one or two lines that like basically like she just thought is what I was saying, but I wasn't saying anything. And that's kind of how I wrote the lyrics eventually, but I kind of have to give her songwriting credit for that. But yeah, that song is kind of a typical theme for me, kind of a man and woman against the world kind of song.
Up next, Riverbed.
Love. When I waiting in the street. Oblivion will rescue me. I've only come to make it known. There's nothing left behind me. I wish to you all. There's nothing to deter me from coming
was great, Zach. Today we're at Waterfront Studios and you're recording with only one other musician today, and that is Otto Hauser, who is a percussionist, a drummer. How did you and Otto meet? And then we'll talk to Otto.
Yeah, I met Otto maybe a year ago or so, but I've known his music for years now from hearing records. He's played on a lot of records that I've heard, like I'm fans of, and I always knew that he was one of the guys, one of the good guys, played drums. So it's been kind of an honor to meet him and play with him at this session. And he just so happens to have some mutual friends, so we got together for the session and just learned some songs pretty quickly. And he adds a lot to my songs, so it's been really cool.
My name's Otto Hauser. I grew up outside of Rochester, New York. And I live in Hudson, New York. I'm a musician. I was first introduced to Zachary's music through John Allen, who's a mutual friend we have. He gave me a copy of what I believe is Zachary's first album at the WFMU record fair maybe 5 years ago. Really enjoyed it a lot. And then it turned out that Zachary played up in Hudson about a year ago. He's played here a couple times, but I met him at a show he played about a year ago. We talked, we have a few mutual friends in common, and hit it off and sort of loosely had talked about playing at some point together in the future. And it just so happened that he had this session coming up and invited me to play. I'm happy he did.
Thank you, Otto. Zach, how about another song? Let's go for Hangman Letters. Can you give us a little background about this song?
Hangman Letters is just this weird play on words. I don't know. I was thinking of the game Hangman, and then, like, the letters that you're, like, guessing, I guess, you know, to play the game. And it was just kind of like the first two words that popped in my head when I wrote the song. It's kind of a weird bluegrassy kind of rhythm, like real fierce finger-picking style, kind of definitely in, like, a bluegrass zone, which I don't usually do, but, it's a tough one to play. It took me a long time to figure out how to execute it live. Playing with Otto, it's like it makes it easier because I get really locked in to the rhythm, not like flying all over the place, changing tempos all the time. But yeah, that's like a riff. It was like a riff song. It's like, it kind of used to be an instrumental for a long time because it was pretty elaborate music. And I remember just, I used to play it sometimes live just as a solo instrumental guitar thing. But I always knew that the melody was really memorable, so I knew there needed to be lyrics to this eventually. So that was kind of, you know, I finally fit something in there. It was kind of abstract, but almost has like a post-apocalyptic quality to it.
All right, then. Let's listen to Hangman Letters.
Thank you.
I'd like to remind our listeners that you're listening to The Art of the Hudson Valley here on WGXC 90.7 FM, and we're streaming online at WGXC.org. The previous song was Hangman Letters, written and performed by musician Zachary Kale with Otto Hauser on drums. All the songs played during this program were just recorded by producer and owner of Waterfront Studios, Henry Hirsch, and engineer Rachel Alina. Waterfront Studios, a recording studio in Hudson, was built inside an 1869 church. This room that we're in is about 70 feet by 40 feet with a 35-foot ceiling, where Zach and Otto just completed this recording session. I gotta tell you, for recording techies, these songs were captured on tape through a vintage Helios console. Whew. Zach, I'd like to go to another of your songs, Unfeeling.
Unfeeling is the first song that's going to be on my new album, which is called, I'm calling the album Blue Nude, which is like a reference to Matisse, the painter. He had like a painting called Blue Nude, and then like Blue Nude 2 before he died, they get some, like a paper cut. I think Picasso might have had one too, was like referencing him. I just thought the words kind of fit with kind of the vibe of the album, and kind of like it's a solitary sound, and kind of like stripped down, so I just figured like naked is kind of a good way to explain it, and blue because it's kind of somewhat like a melancholy kind of sound, and maybe in lineage with Robert Johnson, like solo guitar shadowy figures, like mythical troubadour type people or something. So, and then the Unfeeling is just the first song, and it's just it's a song just about, yeah, maybe about the blues, maybe just kind of maybe existential unease, I guess, you know, just not feeling anything. Maybe it's something people can relate to. I think the word unfeeling, I don't even know if that's a word, but I remember there's a Townes Van Zandt song where he says, if you're feeling unfeeling, and I always thought that was kind of a funny phrase. So I think I got that word from that. And yeah.
So let's go to Unfeeling. Vocals and guitar by Zachary Kale, and percussion by Otto Hauser.
Comes again, that cold unfeeling blue. You best beware, doll, don't let it get its teeth in you. You know how it screws up your face. You know we can't have it that way. Shadows black at the sun. You can't feel a thing when you got on your tongue. All that rage is creeping up to the top. her some macadamia before it takes her home. Beware of that fiery tongue, for all you give will be returned. I curse as you hang on your family and been a cliff to now you can't seem to find a way. Lost touch with the crowd and now you're gone and missed your ride. Well, hush now, don't say a word. It's plain to see that you're take care, I'm on your side. I'll be here when you open your eyes. Your
Otto, what's the collaboration process? Especially playing with a musician you, for the most part, don't know, like Zach.
Zach and I got together for an hour yesterday and played through the songs. So they're, in my mind, what I'm trying to add to them is still getting worked out in my head. But I had some ideas and Zach had some ideas and we just sort of found out what worked. And there were, you know, playing today, there were some things that didn't seem to be working, that tried some other ideas or stripped some ideas down. Just trying to, mostly following the melody and the lyrics and playing stuff that's not going to get in the way of what he's singing or what he's playing on guitar. Or just, you know, typically what I try to do no matter whom I'm playing with.
Are there differences between recording studio sessions and a live performance?
Well, there are many different ways of recording in a studio, and we were recording live today, so in one sense there's nothing different. But, you know, when you're playing live, you have an audience, and that's there, and that's part of the experience, and there's typically an energy that's shared, and you're entertaining, because that's what we do. So there's that quality also, which you're when you're performing in a studio, it's a different mindset of entertaining, like what's going to be entertaining on the album rather than what's going to be entertaining in the moment.
So performance versus performing. I guess it might also be a subjective experience for the musician. Otto, what do you think? Henry, maybe you could also add your take on this too.
It's a thing now, you know, where people don't really think about that. I'm not even talking about being showy, but mm-hmm. just being aware of your audience and making sure they're having a good time.
That's always what it was about live.
Yeah.
And that's always what people have always complained about recording studios, is that The studios are determined to make the music conform to certain sounds and certain scenarios, which does not necessarily take to live recording music. In this session specifically with Zach's songs, most important is to keep the clarity of the lyrics and to make sure that the recording captures something that is really going on and not something that is sounds overdubbed or fake or put into a computer and all the other things that I don't like to do. One of the reasons that Zach's music was chosen by us here at Waterfront is that we record mostly acoustic-based music, meaning music that's made by people and not with computers. And it's not based in some sort of fascination or fixation from the past. It's just simply based in the idea of people putting their emotions into their music. So something that I believe a lot in and built the studio around that. So when listening to all the submissions that came, Zach's music popped out because there was a clarity in his lyrics and he had a lot of musicality in his guitar playing. And so it was pretty much a no-brainer for me, and it was right there. And this session is an extension to me of what can be found, because sometimes if there's 100 musicians playing, it can be a daunting task to listen to 100 of them. But when someone's lyrics really come through and resonate and make sense and really tell a story, then that's usually what I look for. That's the main thing. And so, live in studio, there's just people fighting all over the place. There's live guys who jump on me and I jump on them. At the end of the day, it's about making music. And I think I just still like this place to be playing music and not just putting it in computers and things. So that's the process by which Rachel and I both came to the conclusion that Zach's music needed to be a part of this, and that's why we picked him.
So Henry, could you tell us what the process was for today's recording session?
Well, first of all, the main thing that we had to do is move a little fast. But nevertheless, the process is really about having a collaborative concept that these guys walk in with. They tell me, give me some things to think about immediately as far as possibly a direction of sound in terms of some reference points by which I can then say, okay, I could see how 10 or 11 songs could hang together if you follow a certain concept. And with drums, there's always a need for that because drums are an instrument, of course, that are very loud, and a lot of times they dominate recordings. And so in instances like this, the immediate reference points led us to dampening down the resonance of the drums. And by doing that, I was led to certain types of mic techniques that would take to doing that and doing it rather quickly. And then Zach was placed on a parallel stage to where the drums are. And he was done that because it's a very large studio room, 70 feet long. And the reverberation time between those 70 feet is about 1.8 milliseconds. And that could prove to be a problem if you had Zach in the middle of the room and the drums are over in the corner and the reverb time was hitting into Zach's mics at a place that was not really in rhythm. So what I did was I just took the room out by placing him parallel to the drums and having the reverb time not come back into his mics except in a very, very displayed way. And by doing that, I was able to get clarity out of his acoustic mic and mainly his lead vocal mic, which is what usually reverb time in rooms like that will destroy. Of course, I'm really proud of this room, so I have to say that it can accomplish that. Most of the times, the usual method, which we didn't follow, is usually putting a singer in a booth, which is usually a heavy framed room that takes care of any outside external noise. And there's something to be said about that. I mean, people have been doing that for many years. Robert Johnson did not do that in that hotel, that's for sure. And up until maybe the late 60s, no one would have ever thought to have done something like that. But in the last 40-odd years, it's become the norm. I still resist it as much as I can. Nevertheless, that would always be another option. But that's how we set up. We had framework, we had reference points, we spoke in musical terms very quickly, as we all have had shared experiences. That's how the process goes.
Well, this seems like the perfect time to segue into another song just recorded here. Zach, can you give us an introduction for Dear Shadow?
This is like a pretty new song, brand new song. I've been working on this album, and I just finished recording all of it, and this song got snuck in there at the last second because I needed two more songs, and so I wrote it like the week before I recorded, which I don't usually always do, but I usually pick from songs I just have laying around, but then I should just put two new songs on there. So that was one that I wrote maybe a week before we recorded, and it's just a simple two chord vamp, which I don't do too often. But yeah, I like it. Just the title alone is pretty memorable, I think, and kind of, I like this kind of, you can read into this, someone talking to someone else, like a shadow, like literally your shadow or someone that's following you, or could be your friend, you know, just somebody that you've maybe fallen out with or something. I don't know. You could kind of take it a bunch of different ways. But that song pretty much wrote itself just from that title, I think.
Dear shadow, my soul compelling you.
much true. That tap hard look. You're still stuck. I'm still stuck. With
That was Dear Shadow. Zach, this has been quite an experience today.
Yeah, it's been great recording here. I mean, the space is just, like, really beautiful, and to be in a church and, like, have all this space, and to play with Otto, a great musician, and just be able to do this really quick with Henry, knowing exactly what we're kind of going for. It's really, really awesome. And, you know, I like that we did this kind of live session, because it's... to me, it's just like a nice way to see the songs, what they would sound like normally, like at a show or something, rather than like an album or something. And I kind of, with songs, it's like, I kind of believe that songs always can go like a billion different ways. So it's kind of like playing these songs with Otto is different than like the record, and like will be different from when I play them solo or playing with other people. And so these are kind of like, you know, this is a document of just today, you know, and like this, what these songs are today. And, you know, songs just change faces all the time, so, and that's what's so cool about them. And yeah, you know, we're excited. Me and Otto are gonna play a show tomorrow, and from our brief moment of learning songs, recording, and now we're gonna do a show tomorrow, so that'll be exciting. And yeah, I'll head back to New York, and I don't know, I have this new album. It should come out probably early in the new year. I'm not sure yet, but I think that's kind of, that's my plan. Some touring, hopefully. We'll see.
Well, we're getting close to the end of the program, so let's go to one last song. Zach, can you introduce our listening audience to Noise of Welcome?
Noise of Welcome is a, it's funny, it was a song... It's always been a song first, but actually the last album that was released last year was called Noise of Welcome, and I took the title from this song, kind of thinking that maybe this song would never see the light of day, but now I'm playing this song, so I have an album and a song, but they're not on the same album, so it's a little confusing. But that phrase I remember from like being in Germany traveling around, and I remember reading like James Joyce or something, and there was a phrase that just jumped out in some book of his. I think he was describing the nature of people gathering, like a welcome party, and just the noise he was creating, but it was like this kind of joyful sound of just, you know, people, like a gathering of people. And I just thought that was a really cool lyrical phrase or something, so I just took it and kind of wrote a song out of that, and it's a pretty abstract song, I guess, a little dreamy, but, yeah, you know, I like it. It's kind of associative. You can just kind of look at the words and kind of just read different things into it, kind of like a painting or something.
Well, wonderful. Let's listen to Noise of Welcome.
The noise of welcome is gathered at the station. Now I'm happy. Here's a hat. You wouldn't miss it. It's just been fun. The sky is heavy, but I'm more in ready to storm. Which had tamed the lust of my soul's own destruction. And let us not speak of the time that we have stolen, but rather of the moments that we cling to the golden. Tell me, what does it mean to die in my dreams? Your window to your future day. A single room where my demons play. Come dance with me. I'm indebted to all the restrictions which have tamed the lust of my soul's own destruction. And let us not speak of the time that we have stolen, but rather of moments that we cling to the golden.
Well, this concludes another The Art of the Hudson Valley program, brought to you by our hands-on community radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Today, we were at Waterfront Studios, a recording studio in Hudson, New York. My guests have been musicians Zachary Kale and Otto Hauser. Also, Henry Hirsch, owner and producer at Waterfront Studios, and in their control room, engineer Rachel Alina. Thank you for listening, and I will be returning next month with a new edition of The Art of the Hudson Valley. All of my programs are archived at WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/people/1789. A WGXC program schedule is also available online, and a list of upcoming events. I'm your host, Chad Weckler, and remember, create.